Good morning, my global friends on the Walking with Jesus journey together. I wonder what you think the concept of you and me actually taking every step, every day, in lockstep with Jesus actually means. Every choice we make, every word we speak, every attitude we allow to simmer in our hearts, every relationship with another person, doing so with Jesus at our side. If that were true, and millions of us were doing that, what difference would that make in the world where you and I live? In recent months, our world has seen major radical leadership efforts and attempts to change what is viewed as morally right and wrong, how families function, how healthcare and education function, how we respond to crisis, especially global crisis. It's happening in America and many other countries. Have you noticed a continual intensification of pressure by these leadership forces to push God out, completely out, of every segment of daily life? That's why I'm asking you today what it really means in your life to walk in lockstep with Jesus every day, because societies around the world are saying, no, we don't want Jesus or people who walk with Jesus in any roles of leadership or influence. In fact, we don't want you here among us. Is that an overstatement of social opinion? And how are you responding to this radical change in our world, my friends? Join me today in Acts chapter 9. In the last few days, we've been tracking the historical events in Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection and ascension back to heaven. His closest followers attempted to walk with Jesus, even though he was physically absent from them. They did so by the power of the Holy Spirit living within them, guiding and teaching them. Their lives were so radical, the excited response of thousands of people who also wanted to follow and know Jesus was shaking up Jerusalem and traumatizing the religious and political leaders who had rejected Jesus and killed him. In Acts 4-8, we've seen the apostles were arrested, chastised by the leaders, threatened, flogged, and in one case, Stephen, actually killed by stoning. Now, that is serious radical opposition. Most of us would assume it could never happen here, where you and I live. But today, I'm challenging you to take a closer look at the radical changes happening where you live and in almost every society of our world. Opposition against Jesus is reaching a fever pitch in our day. And when the radical views of some people are supported by the government, then radical change happens quickly. Do you see it where you live? Acts 9 begins, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Is it possible that the Holy Spirit of God can be accomplishing great things in a place while the devil is accomplishing disastrous, family-destroying, society-unraveling things in the very same place? Yes, that's what "meanwhile" means in Acts 9:1. The past 3 days, we've been seeing amazing things in Acts 8, which the Holy Spirit was accomplishing through Philip in Samaria, and then with an Ethiopian official, and then in Azotus, and even in Caesarea. But here, we see Saul, at the very same time, has intensified his persecution of and opposition against Christians. Do you see this same spiritual moral battle raging today where you live, my friends? Luke tells us in Acts 9:2 that Saul was able to convince the authorities that this Jesus movement was dangerous to society and had to be stopped at all costs, not just in Jerusalem, but anywhere Jesus followers were found, even in cities in other countries. Damascus was in Syria, not Israel, and Saul received papers authorizing him to cross the border into Syria, go into Damascus, and search for Jesus followers, arrest them, and drag them back to Jerusalem for trial and punishment. Now think about that, friends, as you look at the rapidly changing policies and attitudes toward Jesus and his followers in the country where you live today. Sometimes God intervenes against such radical evil. Sometimes he doesn't. History shows us that. In this case, the resurrected Jesus confronted radical, angry Saul on his way to Damascus. A light brighter than the sun, a clear voice from heaven, an indictment, instructions of what to do next, and blindness, all in a matter of a minute or two. Luke reports it this way. As Saul neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Acts 9:4-6. Luke tells us the men traveling with Saul saw the light, heard the sound, and when it was over, helped Saul to his feet and discovered Saul was blind, unable to see, so they led him into Damascus. And Luke writes, "For 3 days Saul was blind and did not eat or drink anything." Now put yourself into Saul's situation. This man has studied the Old Testament since he was a child. He's determined to be one of the best Pharisees of all time. Saul is passionate about following every law, every tradition of Judaism, and he is totally intolerant of anything or anyone who would advocate anything other than strict, legalistic Jewish living. Saul is livid as he considers Jesus, Jesus' teachings, and especially Jesus' followers, as they propose salvation by grace of God through faith in Jesus. In Saul's mind and heart, everything and anything about Jesus must be eradicated from society. Now look around where you live. Do you see a similar passion in many people? Oh, they are not advocating strict legalistic Jewish living according to Old Testament laws. They are in fact advocating exactly the opposite. They're passionately advocating a total removal from society of God, God's truths, God's morality, the Bible, Easter, Christmas, and anything of Jesus. And do you see this anti-God, anti-Jesus movement is growing rapidly in many parts of the world? Are you waiting for God to take action as he did with Saul? As Saul sat blind for 3 days, he fasted from food and water, desperate to understand what God was saying to him in this experience. Was it true the resurrected Jesus had appeared to Saul and spoken clearly to him? Had Jesus struck Saul blind? Was it going to be permanent? I believe Saul prayed earnestly. Because he had memorized vast sections of the Old Testament, he likely reviewed them in his mind over and over, asking God to help him understand if, in fact, he was wrong in his zeal. I want us to pause for today right here. I wish I could ask every person in the world to do as Saul did. Spend 3 days alone with God, with your eyes closed, so you're not distracted by anything, perhaps not even eating or drinking. In solitude with God, ask God to identify everything that is wrong, unholy, incorrect in each mind and heart according to God's truth and God's design for human living, according to God's holy standard. What would God say to every person in the world if we did this? And if every person agreed with God and determined to repent and align every aspect of their life with Jesus, what would happen in our world? Now, you and I can't control what anyone else does, but we can do as Saul did and spend some extended time this weekend with God, asking the Holy Spirit to search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in your way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Would you be willing to do that, my Walking with Jesus friends? And what might Jesus do in you? Here's a 1-minute song version of that verse I urge you to listen to.